It hadn't ever happened before. Amen. Those that have been around here know Brother Stoner. How many of you know Brother Stoner? Amen. Well, the thing that had never had happened to me before happened yesterday. That was that Brother Stoner hurt my feelings. Amen. Brother Stoner don't ever hurt anybody's feelings, but he managed to do mine yesterday. He was bragging about Brother Taylor and how good he preached and how wonderful it was. And I was agreeing with him, every bit of it. Amen. Then he said, "You're going to preach tomorrow night, aren't you, Brother Eggers?" And I said, "Yes, Lord willing." And he said, "Well, brother, we each one of us have our special calling and ministry." Amen. So I guess he was thinking I wasn't going to bless anybody. I hope the Lord helps us tonight. Amen. I love Brother Stoner. I can't find him here anyway, but I love him. Amen. But I'm glad you're here tonight. Praise the Lord. Haven't you enjoyed this convocation so far? Amen. The singing. Praise God with the local choir here, the young people, and then the OBI choir. Man, you could take either one of them. Go anywhere in the world. You talk about having a campaign, preaching the gospel. Amen. With him singing, that'd be great. Praise the Lord. Amen. Would you open your Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 11? Glad to see each one of you here. Amen. In God's house tonight. Amen. Enjoyed. Some things I enjoy not because they're pleasant, but because they're healthy and they're good. Amen. I try to convince myself that I enjoy to eat my vegetables. Amen. And I tell you, sometimes gospel preaching is not the most pleasant thing to receive or partake of, but it sure does help. Amen. I calculated last night, Brother Norris, I calculated last night, best I can remember counting the years, it's been 21 years that I've wrestled with a certain thing in my heart. I'm not talking about holiness or anything like that, but just had a struggle over an issue. And last night, after 21 years, heard Brother Norris preach, and the Lord helped me. Amen. Praise God. So no matter how long you've been coming, no matter how long you've been wondering and waiting and wishing, is it ever going to happen, Lord? Keep on praying. Keep on living right. Keep on coming. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'd like to read tonight, beginning in verse 32. The Bible says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises." Now this is the kind of stuff, amen, that missionary stories are made of. Amen. I like to read about Jonathan Goforth and those fellas. I mean, this very stuff right here, God did it for them. Amen. Wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Would you lift your hands and your hearts and let's pray right now. Father, we ask tonight for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to come by this place. Lord, I pray that you would move here, Lord, that you would stir us, that our hearts, oh God, might not only feel your presence, but Lord, that our soul might respond to your presence, God, that we might feel and hear the call tonight, Lord, of your Spirit driving us out into this lost world without Jesus to preach the gospel to every creature in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. I don't ask for your pity tonight when I say what I'm about to say. That's not the purpose at all. Everybody, as Brother Stoner so aptly put and painfully put it, amen, everybody has their own special calling and their own special ministry. Amen. That means, amen, that each and every one of us have something that we have to do. Amen. And along with the calling, along with the individuality of it all, everybody also has different burdens, different problems, different troubles. Amen. And I kind of, as a missionary here tonight, and I feel a little bit, a little disadvantaged. You know, as an evangelist, you can go to a place, and I'm not suggesting you ought to do this, but I have seen it done a lot of times, Brother Taylor. Amen. You can go to a church, and you know, if things are hard pulling the first night or two of revival, you know, evangelist, he can search back over in his notes, and he can get one of them hot button messages, you know, and woo, boy, they'll be shouting on the third night or whatever it is before, amen, he gets done. But a missionary, now you think about that, a missionary going to preach a mission service, what hot button can you push? Amen. Ain't nobody wants to leave home. Ain't nobody wants to leave mom and daddy. Ain't nobody wants, you know, to pick up and take off and go anywhere. So I don't know, amen, if I'll be able to hit any hot buttons tonight or not. But I believe tonight that the Lord wants to stir our hearts, amen. And more than a hot button that dies off the next morning, amen, but wants to do a work in our soul that would change us for the rest of eternity, amen. And here in about 8 days, it would be the Thursday, I believe it is. This Thursday, and you need to mark this on your calendar, amen, and do it along with me. But this Thursday, in about the middle of the afternoon, I plan, amen, to take a little moment and celebrate, amen, with the English folks. English people all over the world, amen, are going to be marking October the 21st, this Thursday, amen, as one of the greatest blessings, amen, for the English-speaking world, amen, in modern times. And what it is, amen, in the year 1805, here in the United States, we were just a fledgling little country, just barely struggling along, trying to get our feet on the ground, amen. We had just beaten the British in the Revolution a few years before that, and they had left us alone for a while, mainly because they were busy, amen, and they were worried over in Europe. You see, in 1805, Great Britain was on the verge of seeing, amen, an invasion of their island kingdom. Napoleon Bonaparte of France, amen, with his demented idea of making his world dominion, amen, at the point of a bayonet. He was ready to send his soldiers to land on the English shores, amen, and to do something and to try to destroy the English nation so that then he would have his way free in Europe to march right on down, defeating one after another as he was and had been able to do. Amen. Rivers of blood had been flowing. Amen. But oh, there was an English navy, praise God, and they had been pursuing him. Amen. In the spring of that year, they had chased him from Europe across, amen, to the Caribbean, and they had chased him back again. They thought he was going to get away, and as the British sailed out into the Atlantic, amen, they cut him off, and then God stepped in. I say it was God. You may not like it, amen, but I'm glad he did it. Praise God. And the elements forced the French Navy, amen, they were bottled up in the Bay of Cadiz on the western coast of Spain. And as they were gathered there in the bay, amen, Napoleon had sent the orders to his men, amen, his men, the captain, admiral of the French Navy, tried to make a break for it, but because of a lack of wind, very few ships could escape out of the bay. Amen. When they saw him coming, though, the British sent up the signal, and they signaled and alerted the whole, amen, British fleet. The British were outnumbered. They had a lot fewer men and a lot fewer ships than the French did, but they had a heart and they had a desire and they were ready to fight and give everything for their nation. Amen. Lord Admiral Horatio Nelson, praise God, he's one of my heroes. Amen. When he set the battle into array, when he prepared to sail his ships right through the middle of the French fleet, amen, he told one of his lieutenants to send up a signal to all of the British ships, and they started running up the flags, up the halyards of the HMS Victory, praise God, his flagship. And the message read, England expects every man will do his duty. Amen. Brother, in just a few hours after sending up that message, history was changed. Amen. I'm glad today. I've lived in a foreign country where there's, amen, the Spanish fleets that were with the French that day. I've seen what the Spanish have left behind. I know, amen, Venezuela has a French judicial system, and I don't like it. I'm glad for America and the way we do things. Amen. I'm glad, Brother insisted that that day history was changed. Admiral Nelson had already given one arm for his nation. He'd already given one eye for his country. But that day in the battle, at about 1:30 in the afternoon, he was called on to give the ultimate sacrifice. And a sniper, French Marine, shot down, amen, from the crow's nest. And a bullet lodged in his spine. They carried him down below decks, amen. For 3 more hours, the battle raged. But just before he died, amen, the second in command came down below decks and told him, he said, "Lord Nelson, I just want you to know the victory is yours." Amen. Admiral Nelson simply looked up, they said, with his one good eye, and he said, "Thank God that I did my duty." Amen. Now, friends, I don't know about you. You may not be a history fan like I am, but brother, I look at things like that and it stirs my heart to know what men and women throughout history have been willing to do, amen, and what price they've been willing to pay. Praise God. But brother, I don't believe we need to read a single English or American history book or any other, amen, to find a better example of men and women of valor like we find in Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. Reading through there, brothers, I told you, this is the stuff, amen, that heroes are made of. Praise God. And brother and sister, I want you to know tonight, amen, that God needs heroes in this generation. Praise God. Amen. I believe that the Holy Ghost agrees with me, because in chapter 12, he said, amen, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Amen. He believed that they were men of valor. And brother, I believe we still need men and women of valor in the day and the hour that you and I are living in. Praise God. Amen. Brother and sister, this world is dangerous today. Did you know that? Amen. I mean, terrorists and nuts and numbskulls all around this globe, amen, have put a fear on the land. Amen. They have caused people everywhere to tremble. Amen. The airline industry, the travel industry, all of those industries, amen, have been affected by terrorism. People are afraid. But brother, I want you to know, it's not time for the Church of Jesus Christ to be afraid. It's not time for you or for me, amen, to find us a bomb shelter or one of them scaredy holes, amen, that you need to dig at your house, Brother Taylor. But God wants the church to arise, amen, and to go out as never before, anointed by the Holy Ghost, and preach the gospel to every creature, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother and sister, amen. We don't have to look far. We can just look at the surroundings of this building that we're in tonight. Amen. What's this building called? Amen. The Kessler. Amen. Brother and sister, we've had men like D.C. Branham. Amen. Then like these in chapter 12, verse 4. They've already resisted unto blood. They've already sealed their life's work. And they've crossed over. Brother Branham, Brother Kessler, Brother Wilmerton, other many, many others that you know as well as I do. Amen. But friends, they're no longer here. For like Acts said about David, they've gone the way. Amen. They've done their job. Amen. They served their generation by the will of God. Amen. They've fallen on sleep. They've been buried today. But praise God, neither their dream nor the call of God has died with them. But rather today, God is searching for men, women, young people, boys and girls who will give themselves, amen, to the service of the Lord. Amen. Brother and sister, we look here, amen, at this text tonight of all that those men and women have suffered. And the Bible clearly tells us that these all, having obtained a good report, I think it's safe to say they're in heaven today. Amen. Some of them are named. Amen. The first, the biggest portion of the book, of the chapter 11, they're named by name. Abraham, amen. One right after another. Some of them, though, many of them, and may I say probably thousands of them, amen, remain unnamed, but rather are categorized, amen, as having these grand traits, amen, of heroism. Amen. And we read about them. Brother and sister, it ought to stir you and me tonight to know, amen, that others were willing to give everything. Now, what remains? Amen, for you and for me to give. It took 2 solid weeks before, because of transportation, before the message could get back to England. And when it did, the English people, amen, amidst their tears as they cried and wept over the loss of their greatest seaman that had ever come from English shores, amen, while they wept for the loss of Admiral Nelson, they also extolled and amen, and praised God that day and praised those men for having been willing to give the sacrifice and to work that great victory. May I tell you today, amen, that the shores of heaven today, I believe, are also covered. Oh, I know there's no tears there, but brother, I believe today, amen, the shores of heaven are lined, amen, with men and women that are standing there, amen, waving a flag and saying, come on, saints, come on, men, come on, women, amen, we were faithful and God carried us through. He'll do the same for you tonight, amen. They're not only waiting in heaven to see if you and I will barely make it in by the skin of our teeth, but they are waiting to see if you and me will be able to come with joy in our hearts and walk down the golden avenue, amen, with sheaves, hallelujah, to lay at the Master's feet. As I told you, amen, in one sense, amen, perhaps a missionary faces an uphill battle when he preaches, because he's got to stir people, amen, not just, you know, preach to them the gospel, something that they can all enjoy and go home and live happily ever after with, but he's got to preach that portion of the gospel that tells us that God demands, amen, that every woman, boy, and girl that names the name of Christ be a worker, be a servant, amen, be somebody in a ministry, praise God, to give the gospel and hope to those around us. May I tell you today, amen, with all that's happening in this world, amen, I've always been a firm believer that the era of American missions domination around the world is swiftly coming to an end. You know it as well as I do, that people of every race and every nation are doing their dead level best to point at America and say that we're the blame and we're the problem and we're the source of troubles around this globe. I believe it won't be long, amen, in which Americans will find in every country certainly what we find in many today, and that is that we're unwelcome there. But friends, if we are, and if that shall come someday, why not take advantage now, amen, of every chance to go as far as we can go, to go as many places as we can go, and preach the gospel, amen, to as many as we can preach to, that they might know, amen, that Jesus lives. Can I tell you tonight, amen, that just like Admiral Nelson stirred his men that day by telling them, amen, that every eye in Britain was on them, that the hopes of a nation were on those boys. Can I tell you today, amen, not patriotism to our country, but brother and sister, patriotism to the cause of Christ. I should tell you this evening, amen, that heaven is counting on you and on me. Heaven expects that every one of us will do our duty, amen. One of the things I have to contend with, again, as a missionary, and I'm not, please, you understand what I'm saying. Brother Taylor, you know me, amen. He'll cover for me after this is over. He'll tell you I'm not a bad guy, even though it sounds like it, amen. But brother and sister, I go to places, amen, I've got to be careful what I preach and how I preach. Number one, amen, you know, because I'm just human, and I'm me, and that's really bad, because I have a way. I can hurt feelings, make people mad, stir things up, you know, and I don't want to do that tonight. Number two, I've got to be careful, because I know there's good men and women of God pastoring those churches, amen, and I don't want them to think I'm coming in there, you know, with a spyglass trying to get the best ones on the benches and jerk them out, amen. I know that pastor needs them there, but at the same time, are we not called, amen, to try to go hold out, amen, a rope and throw out a lifeline to as many as we can and say, get saved, serve God, love God, be of service where you are, but maybe too God would call you someday, amen, to another place. Praise God. Amen. Brother and sister, heaven is counting on the church tonight. Amen. Heaven is counting on you and me. First of all, amen, counting on us to get a hold, praise God, of compassion. Amen. Brother and sister, I believe that God is wanting to pour out His Spirit on this church in this hour in which we live. Amen. In return to you and to me. Amen. An all-consuming passion to win the lost. Amen. At any cost. Do you clearly understand the purpose that God has for your life? Heard different ones mentioning the purposes this week. Amen. Brother and sister, I mean, there's lots of things, you know. God has an individual calling for each one, I know. But brother, if you want to know what God's purpose for every one of us is, and that is that we might be winners of souls. Amen. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary in China, he made the statement and he said, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered, but it is a command to be obeyed. Amen. There is no optional, amen, choice. You do not check A, B, or C, or D, none of the above. Brother and sister, every one of us, amen, saved today, have a responsibility to feel, amen, the burden of the Lord in our heart and to go and to preach the gospel. Amen. Some folks, I suppose, the reason they don't believe in missionary, amen, service and being missionaries or sending missionaries is because the kind of religion they've got doesn't, amen, stand to be propagated. I'm glad it's not sometimes, amen. I've seen some folks down there in Venezuela, amen, other missionaries, seen them in other parts of the world. I just wish they wasn't there. I'll just be honest with you, amen. But brother and sister, may I tell you, praise God, amen, that you and I are called to go and to preach the gospel, amen, and to give ourselves to the service of the Lord. Do we understand clearly? Amen. Preaching the gospel, reaching out to the lost world. Amen. Missionary service, I'll say it. Amen. Is not only going to be the greatest joy that you and I will find in this life. Amen. But it will be the greatest thrill of ours when we get to heaven and we know that somebody made it to God's house just because you or I went out and we preached. Amen. And we gave them the gospel. God is not only wanting to pour out His Spirit to give us, amen, a desire and an urgency to preach the gospel, but God wants to replace the stony heart in us, amen, and give us a heart of flesh, amen, a tender heart of compassion that would reach out to anyone, anywhere, amen. Let me just briefly tell you tonight a story I read of a young lady named Alila. She was standing on the riverbank of the Ganges River there in India, and she was clutching her little boy to her chest, amen. And as she was there rocking back and forth gently on the riverbanks and crying, amen, she looked out across that river and finally she stepped forward. She began to walk that direction, amen, up to her ankles and her knees, and then she walked to her waist and paused. And then one more step, amen, until the waters lapped across the little toes of her baby. And then without a pause, without a thought, she flung her little baby out into the waves of that Ganges River, amen, to his death. A few hours later, amen, a man, Vargas, a missionary man, was walking along. He often traveled up and down the Ganges, witnessing to those Indian people that were gathered there. He found Alila, amen, falling down on the ground in the sand. And there she was, weeping and sobbing uncontrollably. He walked up to that girl, and he spoke to her. And she said, "Oh, sir," she said, "you don't understand." She said, "my sins are so great, and I have so many problems in my home." She said, "I gave the best thing I had to the goddess of the Ganges. Oh, and I just want my sins taken away." That man knelt down beside that young lady and began to share with her the gospel of the love of Jesus Christ. Began to tell Alila how that there was someone that loved her and would forgive her. Finally, she looked up with rapt attention in his eyes and she said, "Sir," she said, "that's strange. I've never heard that before." And then she paused and said, "I wish you had come 30 minutes before and you could have saved my little baby." Friend, how many people today are lost because a missionary, because a worker, because a witness did not arrive in time? I know God has His timing. Brother and sister, I don't want to struggle tonight and fight, amen, amen, with you know, preconceived notions. I know God calls. I know God prepares. And God sends. I'm not asking any, amen, freshman, sophomore, junior, or senior to drop out of class and to go preach the gospel. But I am telling you tonight, amen, that we better make sure that we're doing as fast as we can everything we have to do while there's time. Because the night cometh, amen, when no man can work, amen. What will we do then? Amen. Do we realize the price that was paid for our salvation? If we really believe that that God the Father gave everything He had to effect your salvation and mine, brother and sister Thomas, I believe, amen, we would go as far as He called us. And we would go to whatever place He called. And we would ask God to make a way and to speed us on our journey if we really believe that He gave everything. Heaven is counting on us, amen, to find compassion. Heaven is counting on us, brother and sister, to find our courage as well. brother and sister, I don't know. Hey, man, many have spoken this week, have mentioned, hey, man, Brother Branham and others. And then I thought this morning it was so beautiful, amen, how Brother Taylor preached. And I I've heard people talk about, you know, the old timers, that's in quote marks there. I've heard, you know, and it always stirs my heart. It always thrills my heart to think of those. But I mean, today it was just masterful, wasn't it? Amen, how he dealt and challenged us on the basis, amen, of what others have already done. Brother and sister, can I tell you today, amen, as we look at God, amen, and we look at God's will and we look at God's word, and then we see the host of heaven gathered tonight on the balcony, and they're pleading and they're asking, amen, brother, leave me, church. Brother Branham is not asking, don't let my work go down. He's not saying and crying there tonight in heaven saying, don't let, amen, the school fall. He's not saying, don't let them take the Kessler building. He is saying, let the work of God go. Don't let God's work anywhere fail. But go forth, amen. I never have understood, brother and sister. And don't get me wrong, pastors. I understand, amen. At least in part, the heart of a pastor. I am a pastor there in Venezuela, amen. Brother Taylor knows, amen. I don't think, amen. Pastor's got it easy. You got it harder than anybody else in the world, I believe, amen. But brother and sister, pastor here tonight, amen. Let me tell you, amen. I know you need workers, and I want them all, amen, to work. I want all your young people to grow up and serve God, amen, in the home church or wherever it is God calls them. But brother and sister, as a nation now, let me just speak in general for a moment. As a nation, I have not understood why, amen, 90% of the ministers, amen, fight like cats and dogs sometimes, amen. Over 10% of the world, amen, that's already heard the gospel over and over again, when 10% of ministers in this world, amen, are praying and killing themselves for the 90% that are lost without hope and without God. Amen. I have to ask the Lord about this when I get to heaven. Amen. I don't understand a lot of things. Praise the Lord. One of them is, I don't understand when I talk to young people, they're talking, you know, wanting to be pastors, amen, or a pastoral ministry. I've never understood why they never seem to get stirred and never feel the call of God one time until a church calls or comes open. It's got at least 100 tithe paying folks on the benches. Amen. And then suddenly, brother, amen, I mean, that gob, the folks come out of the woodwork for that church. Brother, amen, the Assemblies of God alone, amen, I don't know exactly the details, but I remember several years ago, amen, reading the statistics of the Assemblies of God, and they said then, I forget how many churches it was, amen, how many churches in a month were closing their doors. Some brother mentioned it this morning, I believe, about the number of places that closed their doors because there were not ministers, there were not willing souls that would go and give themselves to the master's business. Friend, may the Lord help you. May he help me to realize this is God's work. It's not our own. Amen. And we must go. Praise the Lord. James Calvert went as a missionary to the cannibals of the Fiji Islands. As they neared their destination, the captain of that ship began to plead with that man, telling him, Mr. Calvert, he said, don't go to those people. He said, if you go to those people, you will be killed, and every man and woman you're taking with you will lose their lives among those savages. Brother Calvert just simply looked at him and he said, sir, we died before we ever came. Amen. Brother and sister, oh, may God give us courage in our hearts tonight that we would go and face whatever risks are involved, that we would face whatever costs are involved, that we would pay whatever price is demanded, that we might just reach one for the Master. Amen. John chapter 14, amen, comes to my defense oftentimes. I've had people come up to me straightening me out, especially mamas and daddies, amen, if they had any hint or amen that I'd even mentioned to their son or daughter about, you know, hey, have you ever thought about going to be a missionary? I've had mamas and daddies come up to me and say, now, Brother Akers, said, I just want you to know, Jesus never did get outside the bounds of his country hardly. He never did wander to all the far reaches of the world. I mean, he stayed within so many miles, and boy, they know their geography when it comes to this. He stayed within 60 miles or whatever it was, amen, of his hometown, his whole life, basically. I know that. I understand that. I knew that, amen, before I became a missionary. But I also remember what Jesus himself said in John 14 when he told us that greater works than these Shall you do? Amen. Brother, I want you to know, amen. We talk about, you know, oh, greater quantity of miracles, greater quantity of works, greater. Some people even think, you know, that the quality of the work will be greater. Amen. Brother, why not the distance then? Why couldn't the distance be greater than he traveled? Amen. As we go to preach the gospel. Go, church. Heaven is counting on you. Amen. Heaven is counting on you and me also to find our courage. Excuse me. Amen. The courage to face anything. Amen. Used to be, missionaries went off to Burma, India, Pakistan, and, you know, the jungles of Africa and all those places where there were wild and woolly boogers in the woods, you know, in the forest and the jungles. And the only thing they feared, basically, were the man-eating tigers and maybe headhunters and cannibals and killers. Today, how many of you believe I love you? I'm going to close my eyes now. How many of you really believe I'm not trying to take nobody out of the home church, amen, that's doing a work for God? Put your hands down now because I'm getting ready to look. Amen. Okay. Now, you know who you were that lifted your hands. You know how many of you that really believe what you just said with the uplifted hand. Amen. But brother and sister, may I tell you, it seems like to me today, some people's greatest fears are not the tigers, not the headhunters, not the cannibals, not even the terrorists. But, oh God, if I go off yonder, I'll miss the Friday night youth fellowship. I won't get to play basketball. And I'll never get to see my friends anymore. Brother Taylor, you're a great preacher. Everybody here would attest to that, would you not? Amen. Preached my church was at. Amen. Hardly. Yes, I could. Amen. He showed me the other day he's got a wad of notebooks this wide. Amen. On the shelf of all the sermons he's preached, I think, just since you've been here. Not sure. Amen. I don't know. He can count them up. He can probably tell you to the number how many sermons he's preached in his time here at Neosho, Missouri. Amen. Brother and sister, praise the Lord. Amen. I want you to know tonight, of all the sermons that Brother Taylor's ever preached, you know what's about the only one that anybody ever mentioned to me? And I want to be real careful because I love young people. I love you young folks. Amen. The only one young person that ever remembered to tell me all the details of one of the sermons you preached, I believe it was at a graduation or something, you got out and talked about the benefit of friends and how badly we needed to make our friendships here, you know, and those friendships carry us the rest of life, and how we needed to be close to our friends. Of all the sermons Brother Taylor's preached and all of his ministry here, that's the only one they knew the details on, was how close we needed to stick to our friends right here. Now, I may be stretching that a little bit further than what they did. I am, I assure you. But friends, may I tell you today, we must find the courage to go anywhere around the world. Amen. Without our friends. I'm not saying don't have friends. You'll need them more than ever once you get over yonder. Believe me. Amen. But my friend tonight, I want you to know that God wants to send us around this globe. Amen. Amen. There was a time when single missionaries, especially young ladies, made waves as God began an outpouring of His Spirit and began to drive people out across the face of the globe into missions. A lot of people didn't like it when a lot of single ladies started going out and being missionaries. And I understand. There's issues, there's things involved there. I understand that well. Amen. But brother and sister, can I tell you, amen, oh, that God would once again burn in your heart and mind. Amen. I know you're going to say, well, you're lucky, Brother Akers. You got married. You got a wife. I understand that. I am blessed by God. I really believe that. Amen. But, oh, brother and sister, you don't have to show up. Amen. I'm not telling you skip church. But you don't have to show up at every convocation, every camp meeting across the country. Amen. And just because you might not meet the future husband of yours, amen, or the future wife of yours, brother, you could find them right over on the mission field. Amen. It might be a single man from here. It might be a single lady from there. Amen. That somehow in God's providence, amen, He brought them together. And they were both, amen, burdened of the Lord, both went to the same spot. Amen. At the same time, met, fell in love and married. And you talk about living happily ever after. Amen. Serving Jesus. Because you see, amen, God knows. Amen. God knows. Amen. That true love is not based on passion and romance nearly so much as a common purpose
and a common goal in life, and that must be to please God. Amen. We must find our courage, amen, to face, anything, to go anywhere. We must find our courage to live with no regrets. Amen. Brother and sister, I could name tonight pastors by name, and I would dare say that a large portion of you gathered here tonight, a sizable portion would know one, two, or three. Another sizable portion would know four, five, and six, or however many I might name. Amen. But I wouldn't dare do that for anything. They're great men of God. Great, amen, servants of the Lord. They've raised up and done great works of God all across this country. But I have had a few of those men, amen, that I thought, oh, if I could ever just be like them, come to me, Brother Taylor, and between sobs and choking on their tears, tell me that they felt like when they were young, God called them to be a missionary, to go to, and they've named different places where they felt like God wanted them to go. But due to circumstances and things just didn't work out in time, and they got busy with this, that, and the other. And oh, although they've done great works for God, without any doubt, in this land where they live, they are the ones that sob in their prayers, worrying and wishing about what might have been had they obeyed God. Amen. I'm sure I wasn't God's first choice to be there for all that He's done in the work in Venezuela. I know I wasn't. I'm sure whoever it was a brilliant man, certainly a better organized man than what I am. I'm confident of that. But I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he died. I don't know if he just refused to answer the call. I don't know if he just got busy or if he just plain wasn't willing to go. But I'm glad that one day God looked down from heaven. Second or third or fourth choice, I don't know. But finally His, amen, eternal eyes fell on Chuck Akers and said, well, at least he's willing to go. Amen. I've mentioned this a lot of places. I'll tell you. I never tell who it is. Never tell who it is, Brother Taylor. But I'm going to tell you guys tonight. It was Brother Taylor. Amen. Well, I was working with him laying stone one time out there in Virginia. Amen. On the side of the Shenandoah River. We was talking about something. Amen. And I got my nerve up. Amen. I asked him. I said, Brother Taylor, how long do you think I'll last down there in Venezuela? He said, well, Brother Akers, we were just talking about other great men of God and great preachers and evangelists, you know, and people of talents. And he said, you'll probably stay down there forever because you can't do nothing here in America anyway. Amen. I know it wasn't that. But it may have been somebody else's thought when I was a little boy, Brother Whitley back at Fletcher. Maybe somebody else back yonder that knew me from childhood might have thought the same as he did. I don't know what it was, but it's something, somebody somewhere, I call it the plan of God, stirred God's heart. And he decided that he could use me. Amen. David Livingston, the missionary, said, sympathy is no substitute for action. Amen. Another missionary went to India. This was hundreds of years ago. He wrote back to the folks at home, and he said, tell the students to give up their small ambitions and to come eastward and preach the gospel. Amen. Now, brother, you can take eastward back all the way to Virginia if you want to. Amen. You don't have to go overseas. Or you can go south, north, east, and west. Amen. There's people everywhere that desperately need the gospel. But may I beg you tonight, young men and young ladies in particular, give up your small, tiny, insignificant ambitions and go somewhere and preach the gospel. Amen. Sometimes young people, and I know I was young, some people seem like some young folks change boyfriends and girlfriends about as often as boys get a haircut. Amen. And they never do quite find Mr. or Miss Wright. Praise the Lord. It might be because God has some other love that He wants to consume your heart with first. Amen. Praise the Lord. Finally, Heaven is counting on us to find our commitment. Family, what are the things we don't like, we find it hard to commit to the Lord? Family, Jesus said we need to be willing to go, amen, anywhere, preaching the gospel, leave houses, lands, fathers, and mothers. I've met a lot of missionaries, and so I tend to agree with the prevailing opinion of most church members. They think that most missionaries are weird. Amen. Brother Sumner and Sister Sumner, you're not. Amen. Got great confidence. Amen. I tell everybody, every place I go, about them. Amen. And others, too. But brother and sister, I have to concur, most of us are kind of weird. But they take it to an extreme, and they think, you know, and they tell me, oh, Brother Akers, I really appreciate you. You must really have a special calling for God to go off over yonder and leave your family. I couldn't do that because I love my family too much. I know I'm weird, but I ain't stupid. Amen. You think I don't love my mom and my daddy? You think it don't make me cry? You think it didn't hurt me, amen, to be off down in Venezuela when my daddy's health was failing and finally he died? I didn't make it back in time. Thank the Lord for that. But I remember so many times, 7 years before he died, we sat in the van together, and my daddy told me, he said, son, whatever news you hear about me and my failing health and whatever happens to me, he said, don't you dare leave the work of God and come back to America just to be with me. I told him then I wasn't going to obey that I would be there. I couldn't be there very much, but I did get there in time. But brother and sister, may I tell you, we have to consecrate our families to the Lord and serve God. Security. Count Zinzendorf was a rich, on today's standard, multimillionaire. Amen. In the year 1700, 1760, he lived. He gave everything he owned away. He came to America. He was the only European nobleman ever known to go, brother, amen, to go out and to meet personally with the Indian tribes here in America. He met with Benjamin Franklin, among other colorful and well-known Americans, and before their eyes, he gave up his title as count, and he gave up all of his rights to all of his property to serve the Lord. The Moravian Christians that were raised up underneath his leadership to be the Moravian movement, a missionary movement of the 1700s, great people they were. The first two missionaries they ever sent out, they had found out from a converted slave that had left the West Indies Islands in the Caribbean. They found out that the only people allowed on those islands were slaves to work in the sugarcane fields and plantations. Those first two missionaries the Moravians sent out went down and sold themselves as slaves that they might get to those islands and preach the gospel to those souls. Amen. Comfort. Amen. One man said, never pity missionaries. Envy them. They're where the real action is at. Where life and death, sin and grace, heaven and hell converge. Amen. I get nervous about those bullets in Venezuela that fly around in the barrios where we work. But brother and sister, I want you to know, I wouldn't give it. Amen. I wouldn't trade it for anything else because I know, amen, that working for Jesus is worth everything. Pleasure. Amen. Nate Saint, you remember him, don't you? One of the missionaries that lost his life to the Auca Indians. Amen. Several years ago in Ecuador, he said this. He said this. He said, and people who don't know God or the Lord ask why in the world we'd waste our lives as missionaries. They forget that they too are expending their lives. And when the bubble has burst, they will have nothing of eternal significance to show for the years that they have wasted. Amen. Amen. Now, I told you, church, that as a missionary, I feel a little disadvantaged. Because I'm sure that many feel a little hesitant preaching that everybody in the whole wide world ought to, you know, grow up and be a missionary. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Rest easy, Pastor. But I do believe that far more than what have must go. Amen. Missionary, his wife left for their field of endeavor and work and labor. The wife left behind a letter with a friend and told her to mail this prayer letter out to our supporters after we're gone. So as soon as the plane took off, she went back to the post office and mailed the letter. The wife had kind of bared her heart in that letter and told some personal things about how she felt and the struggle she felt about going, leaving every family and all behind. And in that letter, she wrote and quoted a passage from Max Lucado's book, No Wonder They Call Him Savior. And she wrote this portion of his book. She said, in fact, it seems that goodbye is a word that's all too prevalent in the Christian's vocabulary. Missionaries know it well. Those who send them know it too. Airports, luggage, embraces, tail lights, wave to grandma, bus terminals, ship docks, tears, goodbye daddy, tight throats, ticket counters, misty eyes, write me. Then he said, question, what kind of God would put people through such agony? What kind of God would give you families and then ask you to leave them? What kind of God would give you friends and then ask you to say goodbye? Answer, the God who knows that the deepest love is in reality only a sea of tomorrow. Answer, a God who did it himself. Amen. I want to conclude here tonight. Amen. What I've just read to you, I'll not try to doctor up. I'll not try to paint a rosier picture. But I will give you the same answers that Lucado gave in his book. Because, you see, there they are. They're out there, and they're dying without Jesus. And tonight, amen, look at your Bible in your hand. I've seen some people got those little electronic Bibles, you know, where you can type it in nervously, trying to find that verse right before you preach, and slip it in your pocket, and nobody ever knew. Amen. Seen other people on their computers that have a Bible, you know, that you can actually hear them read the text to you. That's neat. That'd be great. Amen. If I find it, I'll get it. Amen. I'd like to have that. But look at your Bible tonight. Look at the one you have in your hands. Amen. Put your ear to it. You don't have to do this. I'll do it for you. But put your ear to it. Listen to it. Tonight, what you're hearing is not acting drunk. What you're hearing is the endless trudging of feet of 158,000 souls every 24 hours that are plunging off into the pit without hope. The screams you have are not of some poor widow in India that was piled up on the funeral pyre of her dead husband and then burned alive along with his body. But rather it's a billion Chinese people that are going to die without hope. The cry of another billion Muslims that someday a terror is going to slip from their lips when they realize that their religion of peace did not save their souls. It's another 800 million, almost another billion. We've nearly got in just three groups half the world's population. Another 800 million Catholic people. Then imagine the rest without God. Today, can you hear it? You say, but I didn't hear God call me. Did you hear God say that you should and must stay where you are and do little or nothing? I say today that the responsibility is on us to prove that we should be where we are rather than to say, well, I ain't heard nothing from God yet. Would you stand this evening? Pitiful cry of millions. They're saying, preacher, if you would have just come. You think, Brother and Sister Stoker? They're fine folks. I went to school with Brother and Sister Stoker. I remember them. I admired them. I bugged Sister Rhonda to death to teach me just another word or two in Spanish back then. But you think, after all these years down there in Guatemala, you think they've got everybody saved? Guatemala has the highest Protestant population of any Latin American nation. And there are still millions in Guatemala that need OBI Guatemala now to pick up the reins, to send men and women there to preach the gospel to every creature. Africa, North America, the poor billions in Asia, the islands of the sea, Europe, oh, they need it. They need it as much as any savage. We do too, right here. Where? How far? One lady said, will your dream take you in the missionary endeavor? With just one pause of a moment, don't even bow your heads. I'm not going to tarry. Anybody here that you feel like that you would be willing to go anywhere, do anything, it might be to your home church. So be careful before you take the challenge. But is there anybody here that would say, brother, I want to be willing to go anywhere, do anything for Jesus Christ? Young people in particular, would you pass right up here to the front? Amen. You don't have to come. This is not a trick question to make you feel lonely there in your seat. But you really feel like you want to be willing to do anything. Now, is there a mom or a dad in this house that would want to come forward and say, pray for me tonight because I want to be willing to let go of my child's hand and send them with my blessing to God's endeavor wherever it may be. Saints, let's call on God tonight. Let's ask Him to meet our hearts in this place. And let's ask Him to stir us with a vision for the lost and the dying around this world. Oh God, tonight I pray in Jesus' name for you to stir us.
Todo es a ti. Porque quiero darte todo, es a ti.